All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you would tonight, 1 Corinthians 7. We've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians on Sunday nights, and I've enjoyed our study so far. We completed chapter 6 last time, a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday night, and we're going to pick it up in chapter 7 tonight. Now, I will tell you this, that the message this evening is probably not something that I would have just, on my own volition, said, hey, this is a good message for a Sunday night. But that's kind of the beauty of preaching through books of the Bible, is when we get to places and you go, okay, well, this is a subject that needs to be dealt with, it needs to be addressed, but I think it'll be helpful to you. The title of the message tonight is 101 Reasons That You Should Never Get Married. Not really. I only have 99. We're going to read one verse. 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 1. Would you stand with me tonight? Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. I want to give you tonight a message, sincerely. The title of the message tonight is A Case for Singleness. A Biblical Case for Singleness. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the life-transforming truths of it and also the practicality and application to everyday life and questions that we have. I pray that tonight, as we look into your word, that you would help us to see the truth that you have for us, that as we consider and maybe even wrestle with some realities and circumstances of life and try to discern and understand what your will would be in these things, that you would give us clarity regarding the clear Bible teaching that you've given in regard to relationships and marriage and things of that nature. I pray, Lord, tonight that your word would give understanding, that it might clarify some things in the hearts of those with questions, that it might settle some hearts that are restless. Lord, whatever our needs are, I pray that you would teach us, that you would transform us tonight through your word. Help us in every aspect and every area of life to honor and please you in all things. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Chapter 7 begins with this statement, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me." So he's referencing a letter, apparently, that had been written to the Apostle Paul with some questions. This is really important. Notice he doesn't say the thing that you wrote unto me, he said the things. There are multiple questions, apparently, that the Corinthians had. And chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians deals with relationships from a lot of different angles. It deals with the as we'll look at tonight, single people. People who never get married. What is God's will for them? It deals with married people. What is God's expectation for marriage? It deals with widows. It deals with people who've been through divorce. It deals with those who are married to an unbelieving spouse. And it just addresses all of these issues and kind of looks at things from different angles and helps us to understand some things about God's ways and God's intention and purpose in our lives. And it tells me that the Corinthians had some questions about these things. There were some issues going on within that church in Corinth where they're saying, we're not really not sure what to do. Maybe the pastors of the church, we're not really sure how to advise this person in this particular situation. And so let's write to Paul, see if he's got some insight. Maybe the Lord's given him some wisdom. And praise God, he chose to inspire Scripture to give us answers to meet really every person in their particular area, their particular need of life. What a blessing that God has chosen to do that. it's a blessing to me that God chose to give us His Word and really to leave. It's amazing how God does this. He leaves the door open to some degree for the fact that not everybody is the same. And yet He's also presented enough clarity that every person who is really seeking the will of God for their life can look to the Scripture and find the answer that they need. It's amazing how God does that. And so He begins, and the reason that I'm focusing on this particular aspect tonight of singleness is because that's one of the many issues that are addressed in this chapter. And I didn't believe, and I don't believe, that it would be prudent to try to cover all of them in one message. And so tonight I want to present to you from 1 Corinthians 7 some reasons that it would be wise to remain unmarried. Now I'm speaking tonight to some single adults, some of you who've never been married. I'm speaking tonight to some young people who have not yet been married. I'm speaking tonight to some who have been widowed. I'm speaking to some who've been divorced. And I'm speaking to some parents who are trying to guide their children to make decisions in life. And I want to show you from Scripture what God says about some of the benefits of the single life. I think this is important to address because if we're just real honest about this, sometimes in society and even, may I say, especially in churches, there can be somewhat of a stigma to being single, to being a single adult. Now, it may not be something that's taught or something that is explicitly stated, but I have known many single adults who have somehow felt that they're treated differently because they've never been married. They feel like maybe sometimes they don't really have a place where they fit because maybe they don't fit the mold of the normal ways that we, you know, it's kind of a common thing, right? For people to grow up, get married, start a family. And so when someone is single in their life, then they feel like they don't necessarily fit or they feel like they are somehow less than others. And I just want to tell you tonight, that is not the case. God has a place in His churches for single folks. And even tonight, we're going to hear some encouragement for those who are single and those who have not yet been married to at least consider this, that maybe, just maybe, that's God's will for you. And that's not a bad thing. Now, I am not tonight trying to say that marriage is bad. Because my wife is here, and that would get me in trouble. The Bible's clear, marriage is a good thing. It was created by God. God in Genesis said it's not good that man should be alone. Proverbs, He says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. We come over to the New Testament and we find that that God says that marriage is honorable in all. We find warnings, for instance, from Paul to Timothy of those who would forbid to marry. And so God is not by any means here tonight saying that marriage is a bad thing, that nobody should get married. That is not what this is saying in 1 Corinthians 7. However, there is a statement that is made in verse number 1, and we read it. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now, many people have taught that over the years to say that a man should never touch a woman who's not his wife. Well, that's true. And that is good and that's right. But that's actually not what this is saying. Because the contrast comes in verse number 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. So this is a contrast between being married and enjoying that relationship of marriage versus abstaining from that. And then he goes on, if you look down to verse number 6, he says, but I speak this by permission, not of commandment, for I would that all men were even as I myself. Now, Paul is writing as a single man. And he says, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. So now a couple of times in this text, he says, it's good to remain unmarried. Now he doesn't say that it's the only way, and he doesn't even say it's the best thing. But he says it's good. It's a good thing. If this be the will of God for your life, it is a good thing to be single. Now I know that there are some of you who are sitting there and thinking to yourself, well, I don't want that. I'm not looking. Listen, it may be that God would have you to get married. But let's not brush past the fact that God says it's a good thing if someone were to remain single. If that was the will of God for them, this is a good thing. And he gives several reasons for this. So this is very, very important. I want to share this with you. Number one, principle number one. Not everyone should get married. Not everyone should get married. Not everyone has been designed by God to be married. Now, many have, and I would even go so far as to say that most. It would be a good thing for them to be married, but not everyone. It is not God's will for every person to be married. That's very clear and very obvious. And this is, again, young people, understand this. You need to at least put some consideration into this as you approach the life that God has for you in adulthood and all of that. Is this, just because you're, you know, a late teenager, early 20s, and you're thinking, man, I got to find myself a spouse. Maybe you don't. Not everyone should get married. Not everyone should. Notice he says, in verse number 7, for I would that all men were even as I myself. But then he says this, but every man hath his proper gift of God. One after this manner and another after that. We're not all made the same. Some of us are gifted in a way where we do better when we have that life partner. We do better when we have that companion. I'm thankful that God gave me a wife. I don't know where I'd be without her. I would never be able to find my keys. I need her. She's been by my side almost 19 years and served the Lord together. And she helps me. She's my helper. She's my encourager. She's the one that's there with me. She's my companion, my friend. I don't like it when we're not together. If I'm traveling and she's at home or whatever the case, I don't like it. It's uncomfortable because God has made me to desire that, and he's given me that. That's how he's gifted me. But not everyone's gifted in that way. Not everyone is in need of that in the same way. And so he's writing to them and he's saying, listen, understand, it's a good thing. If someone is just better single, that's not bad. That's not wrong. This is a good thing. They're gifted differently. And I would say this too. Please understand this. It's better. It is much better for you to remain unmarried than to marry the wrong person. It would be much better to remain unmarried than to marry the wrong person. I've seen young people who rush to the marriage altar because they just have to get married. This is something, I have to have this. Listen, no. You better be sure. If you're going to marry someone, you're committing your life to them, you better be sure. This is the will of God for you. I've seen almost worse than that. I've seen divorced people and widowed people who, because their life has changed so drastically, now they've lost a companion and they feel this loneliness and they will rush into marriage again, who later regret it. And sometimes it doesn't take very long for that regret to settle in. And I'm just telling you, it's better to remain unmarried than to marry the wrong person. And so he's writing to them, and apparently this was a question for him. Hey, is it a good thing to get married. And he says, well, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. I would that all men were, even as I myself. I think it's a good thing. And not just I think. We understand this isn't just a man's opinion. This is the Word of God. And he says, it's a good thing. Not everyone is made to be married. That's principle number one. Principle number two is this. There are opportunities in serving God for single people that are not true of married people. Single individuals, single adults have opportunities to serve the Lord that married people do not. Look with me, if you would, to verse number 32. And again, I know we're jumping around here a little bit, but I'm just trying to give you the perspective of what this chapter says about this. It says, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Do you know that I, as a married man with children, have certain responsibilities and priorities that, don't take this the wrong way, but they can get in the way sometimes of other ministry opportunities. Because I have taken on some responsibility, and listen, this is a principle in every area of life, not just when it comes to marriage, this is a principle in every area of life. To say yes to one thing is to say no to something else. And so to embrace a life of marriage where I am committing my life to my wife and we're starting a family and now we have children, guess what? I have to, before God, if I'm going to honor the Lord, I have to care for the things of my family. I have to make sure that they're provided for, that they're protected. I can't just make decisions without considering them. I have a responsibility to them that causes me to say, okay, this might be an opportunity, but is it prudent? Just this is a silly little example, but I think you'll understand where I'm coming from on this. A couple of years ago, a few of us were looking to go on a missions trip. We had plans to go to Lebanon, and that was when just a week or two before we left, the war broke out in Israel. And there was, you know, fighting going on over there. And pretty soon they're you know, sending bombs into Lebanon and stuff like that. And we ended up changing plans and going somewhere else for a couple of reasons. One is, the primary reason was this, I've got a family I've got to be concerned about. Now, if God had called me to be a missionary there, that might be a different story, and we'd have to weigh that out and pray through that and whatever. But I'm like, hey, we're taking a 2-week missions trip to go visit a missionary. Maybe this isn't the best thing because I don't want to potentially leave behind a wife and kids who are depending on me just because I rushed into something. If I was single, that might have been a different story. Now, another consideration was the church. And I didn't want to just, you know, even just get stuck over there for a month or two, and you know, what's the church going to do while I'm away, and those kinds of things. But these areas of responsibility cause us to make decisions differently. A single person doesn't have to worry about those things. A single person is able to say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And man, I'll go do it. I knew a man who went to Thailand to help a missionary. Single guy, had a small studio apartment, had saved up a little bit of money, got rid of the apartment, quit his job, moved over to Thailand, lived in a garage with a door that was basically a cage that came down. It wasn't even a solid door. And he was perfectly content with that, except during the rainy season, because what would happen is the streets would flood, and when the streets flooded, all the rats from the sewer came up, and they were seeking refuge, and they'd come into his garage and hang out in there with him to stay dry. But other than that, he was happy with it. But he could do that. If I did that, no, I wouldn't be a very good husband. My wife deserves more than that. My kids deserve better than that. Now, I'm not saying that there's ever a time that we don't say yes to the Lord and do what He leads us to do, but I'm telling you that God will often lead a single person differently than He leads a married person because of some of those issues. And so don't dismiss the fact that as a single individual, you may have opportunities to just give your life wholly to the Lord without having to worry about these other things and be concerned with the things of the world. And the way it's described here, look at verse number 35. He says, "And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely." In other words, I'm not trying to put a burden on you, but I'm just trying to encourage you in that which is best. And then he says at the end of that verse, look at this, "and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction." You have an opportunity to just dedicate your life to the Lord completely. And that's actually a good thing. To be able to be wholly given to the Lord without any concern for anything else or anyone else. Lord, what do you want? Think about this. That you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. David was known as a man after God's own heart. David had a relationship with the Lord most of the time that most of us would envy. He had a zeal for God. He had a closeness with the Lord. The sweet psalmist of Israel. I mean, just about every day I'm in the Psalms and reading something that the Lord is using to encourage my heart with. I'm thankful for David's relationship to the Lord. But you know what? He wasn't very good with his family. David's biggest areas of failure in his life were related to his wives and children. Could it be that there's a bit of a trade-off? Again, I'm not saying that you can't serve God as a married person. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is this: if you find yourself in a position to be single, you ought to consider, Lord, would this be something that you'd have for me? Could I maybe do more for you as a single person than I could do as a married person? That you may serve the Lord without distraction. That's what he said. So principle number one was this: not everybody should be married. Principle number two: single people have opportunities to serve the Lord that married people don't have. Principle number three: there is a time in which marriage is actually unwise. And when I say time, I'm referring to specific circumstances. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 26. Verse number 26, he says this: "I suppose, therefore, that this is good," notice these words, "for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be." The present distress. What's he referring to? Well, apparently this was a time when the Corinthians were facing persecution. Very real, physical persecution for their faith. And the present distress, the circumstance that they found themselves in, would cause them then, according to this, to reconsider whether marriage was a good idea. Let me tell you this. As someone who has a wife and children, I have certain vulnerabilities in the midst of persecution that I would not have as a single person. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, let's say, and okay, maybe you can't envision this in the United States, but it's going on all over the world, and it can happen here. Let's say that somehow a law is passed that to be a Christian, or probably more realistically, to proclaim your faith, to witness to other people, to proselytize, is against the law. And the punishment for that could be physical torture or death. I've never faced that, but I believe that by God's grace, if I ever had to face that, He would enable me to hold true to my faith, to not deny the Lord, right? I believe that. I can tell you this, it'd be a whole lot easier for me to do that in the face of my torture or death than for my wife or to watch my wife or my children in that situation. I'm way more vulnerable when it comes to them than I am for me. And there might be circumstances in your life. I don't know what they would be. God knows. There may be circumstances and situations in your life where it would be wise for you to say, is this really what the Lord would have? Is this a good idea? For instance, I've talked to some young men who are praying about potentially going as missionaries to restricted access countries, closed countries, and who are really weighing, if this is what God has for me, should I get married and potentially bring a family into this situation? Or should I, because of the present distress, because of the circumstances that I'm facing, maybe remain single? Hold your place here and go with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is what we call the Olivet Discourse. Jesus is talking about end times events, things that are going to happen specifically to Israel. He's talking about the tribulation period and things that are going to happen. And notice these words in verse number 19 of Matthew 24. He says, "And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days." You know, there are certain situations where, I mean, the circumstances might be difficult and even horrible for an individual, but man, for a parent who has a small child that's going through those things, I mean, it's just heart-wrenching. Think about that as a parent. He says, listen, you, to the women of Israel, to the women, the Jewish women, you don't want to be pregnant or nursing a child when these days come. That's what he says. And then look down, if you would, to verse number 36. He says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And then he says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking," notice this, "marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." What's he saying? He's saying in the days of Noah, here's what happened. God was preparing to destroy the earth. But they were going on with life as usual. And the fact that they were eating, drinking, and they were marrying and being given in marriage, they were giving, you know, giving away their children in marriage, those kinds of things, that was evidence that they were unaware of the times. And in the end, when the coming of the Son of Man is, there will be people doing the same. Life as usual. Hey, getting married. Why? Because I'm a young adult, and that's what young adults do. We get married, right? Giving in marriage. And what he's saying is, if that's the attitude at that particular time, because you're not thinking about the times. And so what I'm getting at here tonight is that there is a time when it's just not wise to get married. There's a time. When is that time? I don't know when that time is for you. God knows. And there might be some of you that are single and sitting here and you're saying, you know, it's my heart's desire and it's very difficult for me to remain single. And listen, what did he say? I'm not trying to cast a snare upon you. Go back to verse or chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. Verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 9. Says, but if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. You say, what does that mean, to burn? He's not talking about burning in hell. He's talking about being burning in your lust. If you're physically not able to contain yourself and keep yourself pure, mind, heart, body, and keep yourself holy to the Lord, it'd be better for you to get married. You're not sinning by getting married. Go down to verse number... I'm sorry, verse number 28. Notice these words. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But he says, I spare you. It's not sin, it's not wrong for you to get married. If you're a single person, you say, I just want to be married so badly. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing sinful about it. Marriage is a good thing. God's created it. There's opportunity there. But just understand, if you find yourself in a position as a single person, don't just assume that you must get married. Don't just assume that. Parents, don't just assume that your children must get married. It is an option for them to remain single and serve the Lord as a single person. We're in chapter 7. And I want to just remind you of the context of all of this. We go back to chapter 6 and look at verses 19 and 20. And what does he say? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. As you approach these questions, singleness or marriage, divorce, remarriage, widowhood, as you approach these questions in life, always remember the context of this is what glorifies God. How can I take my vessel that God has given me? He saved me, and He wants to fill me and use me for His glory. How can I best use this temple of the Holy Ghost to glorify God in my body and in my spirit? Lord, what is your will for me? And tonight I just want to challenge you. Don't dismiss the value of a single life, because not everybody is made to be married. Some people shouldn't be. There are opportunities that you might have as a single person that you might not have as a married person. And there's a time in which you shouldn't get married. God knows those things. And if you'll pray and seek His face and seek His wisdom, He'll guide you and lead you in it.